Secrets to Being a World Changer, Part 1, The Being of Leadership. Written by Jonathan Chu and Leo Zeto. Narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Dedication. We dedicate this book to an incredible group of friends, family, and mentors who have, in their own way, helped us be who we are and shaped our own journey in becoming world changers. In particular, we'd like to recognize our wives, Michelle and Mandy, for their unwavering support and encouragement during our numerous gatherings and brainstorms. Introduction. To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Walt Disney. So, you're looking to change the world? If so, you've come to the right place. In this two-part audiobook series, you'll find a handy-dandy guide that will give you the secrets to being a world changer. Yet, it is only meant to be the beginning of the journey upon which you are about to embark. These audiobooks are merely blueprints to guide you, because you, my friend, are the one that will have to put in the hard work. Keep these audiobooks with you when you need a quick refresher on some enlightening mindsets and paradigms, examples of courage and hope, or little jingles to keep you going. This set of audiobooks is meant to inspire you on your down days and lift you higher on your up days. Ask yourself, what impact do I want to have? What value do I want to bring to the world? And that's where your journey will begin. This series is split into two audiobooks. Just as each yin must have a yang, the first audiobook, Part 1, deals with the larger picture, both physically and metaphorically, of how you should think while being a world changer. The second audiobook, Part 2, will deal with the smaller everyday picture of putting those big ideas into action, doing the world-changing things that you intend to do. You can start anywhere and begin listening to these audiobooks however you like. You can hop around or spiral up and down. It's completely flexible and catered to you. We're giving you the ingredients and the recipe. You are the chef that has to bake it into an amazingly delicious dish, one that will surprise and delight whoever you wish to impact around the world. However, all of the material is interconnected, and that's why we developed the Circles of Victory to represent the principles of being a world changer. These audiobooks are for people of all disciplines, from any background under the sun, who want to create change. These audiobooks are for anyone who wants to discover, unveil, or disrupt what already exists and introduce it into the world in a different light. Originally, we wanted to call this audiobook The Unified Theory of Leadership because we essentially came up with the basic ingredients and qualities that make a great leader. Not just a good one, but a great one, who can lead nations into the next golden age, troops to victory, companies to revolutionize their industry, and so on. But we chose a different title because we wanted to emphasize that leadership is not the focus of these audiobooks, rather something far greater. We want you to focus on something larger than simply leading people. We want you to focus on the gravitas of changing the world. This stuff you're listening to is dangerous. The material in your hands is potent and explosive. It's up to you how you want to use this gunpowder. We hope you use it for good. We hope you use it to make the world a better place. We hope you create that great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. And to throw in more awesome cliches, we want you to know the world is your oyster. Go get it. What's your reason for being? Open the gates and seize the day. Jack the Newsies. Our aha moment in leadership came from a chance encounter with an ancient Japanese concept known as ikigai. This concept is one of the oldest taught in Japanese culture and essentially means a reason for being. The people on Okinawa, known as some of the longest living people on our planet, translate it as a reason to get up in the morning. Now, most Japanese people seem to grow up with the sense that it is worth taking the time to discover their ikigai, While in our opinion, if you've grown up in other parts of the world, people seem to lack self-motivated direction, wandering from place to place looking for something. Calling it their passion, their desires, and their meaning of life, they are essentially looking for their ikigai without even realizing it. According to the Japanese definition, ikigai fuses four different concepts: what you're good at, what you're willing to do, what you're paid for, and what you want to do. And your purpose in life is at the very heart of those overlaps. Picture four circles overlapping, kind of like a four-leafed clover. The top circle is what you love. The right circle is what the world needs. The bottom circle is what you can be paid for. And the left circle is what you're good at. The intersection of love and world needs is mission. The intersection of world needs and paid for is vocation. The intersection of paid for and good at is profession. And the intersection of good at and love is passion. Where they all meet in the middle is ikigai. This concept is important because it gives you a framework to start creating and forming a full and satisfying life. We built our framework for developing a full and satisfying, potentially world-changing form of leadership from this very unique concept. The circles of victory. One person can make a difference, and everyone should try. John F. Kennedy. Drawing inspiration from the circles of ikigai, or one's reason for being, we similarly created the circles of VIC, victory, to describe how to change yourself from within and bring about a reason to lead. The circles of victory comprise three overlapping circles. The first circle is vision, something to be passionate about. The next circle is imagination, something we all have. The final circle is creativity, something we can learn to be better at. Where imagination and vision overlap is dream. Where vision and creativity overlap is build, and where creativity and imagination overlap is play. Where they all meet in the middle is leadership. There are direct correlations between the ikigai diagram and what we call the circles of victory. Instead of the four ingredients towards self-actualization, we describe three foundational ingredients that all great leaders share in their personalities and their very being. The overlaps combine those ingredients together and form the essential actions of what great leaders do and what great leaders share in common with these actions. We happened upon this incredible formula while creating a presentation for IEEE USA's 2016 Future Leaders Forum. As we started to delve deeper, we began to see trends and patterns among all leaders that we currently look up to, who have not only been good, but who also have created great changes, ones who have affected us in more ways than we can ever realize. Don't be afraid. A lot of times, when we are on the verge of creating great change, we encounter something known as resistance. Something will come out of nowhere and interrupt your flow of thought. Some kind of distraction, something you have to do. But what this resistance is really doing is keeping you from what you were meant to do in this world, from your life's mission. The resistance we all ultimately face can completely take you out, make you feel inadequate by tampering with your confidence, and stop the momentum you have created. Revisiting that famous John F. Kennedy quote from the beginning of the chapter, we can realize that if all it takes is one person to change the world, then all of us should at least be trying. But we often let fear and doubt creep in, the two biggest blockers to us achieving any of our dreams. Fear can come in many forms. Fear of rejection and fear of failure seem to be on top of the pyramid. Just think about instances in your life when those two fears came into play, just when you were about to make some life-changing move. Say you were going to ask someone really cute for a date. What did you do? Did you let the little voice of resistance tell you that you weren't worth the time? Did you eventually talk yourself out of it? Consider what Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet's famous soliloquy. "An enterprise of great pith and moment. With this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of action." We can think and think all day and never get anywhere. We can lose the opportunity to act. Who knows, that person that you refused to talk to because you thought you weren't good enough could have been your best friend, your best companion, but now neither of you will ever know. The great thing is, once an opportunity has slipped by, it doesn't mean it's gone forever. You can create new opportunities, adapt, and be organic. That's one of humanity's greatest traits. We are adapting machines. It doesn't matter if we slip and fall. Who do we become? Where do we go? According to the Greek philosopher Epictetus, it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. It's what you do after you get back up that counts. So where are you in your life's journey? Take a look at the circles of victory and start working on areas that need improvement. Through time and effort, weaknesses can turn into strengths. As we said before, you can enter the circles of victory from any angle. You can start in the overlapping areas defined in Part 2, or you can start with the outside circles defined in Part 1. Either way, you'll still get a full understanding of the underlying traits every great leader needs. Our favorite way of looking at it is through the lens of a mountain climber, where you take the circles of victory, the 2D version, and turn it into a 3D object in three levels. In this view, the world-changing leadership is at the top level, that is, the top of the mountain. The overlapping qualities, dream, play, and build, are the middle level, that is, midway up the mountain. And the outer circles, vision, imagination, and creativity, are the bottom level, that is, the ground level. Taking this mountain analogy a little further, if each of the outer circles was a mountain base station and you wanted to visit each base station around the mountain, then you can start making your way in either a clockwise or a counterclockwise motion up the mountain, and you'll eventually reach the top. In essence, you're creating an upward spiral. Using this approach, you develop a foundational way for being before you go out and do things. Change always starts from within, and it's the same approach that Stephen Covey took in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The first few habits in the book focused on the internal game, interacting with yourself and your own worldviews. The latter habits focused on the outer game, interacting with people and society. So, in the same vein, the first 3 secrets to being a world changer, the outer circles, focus on the internal game and your paradigm. The last 3 secrets, the crossovers, focus on action and making your world-changing dreams a reality. Observing the world. Leadership is the art of empowering others. Anonymous. We are all observers of the world. While writing his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie wasn't exactly at the same level of the people he was interviewing and referencing, but he was a great observer and note-taker. Similarly, we haven't created changes in the world that have impacted a million people or even affected our lives yet, but our leaders and mentors have graced us with wonderful insights. Because we have been exposed to the unique world of imagineering and carving out our own life experiences, we have been able to spot common threads among many of the great leaders who have influenced our lives in ways many of us never even realized. It's just like when you buy a new car, say a shiny new red Tesla. You'll start to notice other people who have Teslas and how many red cars are on the road. It's a cognitive bias that prevents us from seeing these things up until that moment. Because our brains receive so many input pieces, we start to select certain information relevant only to the worldview we've created. And that's the gift we hope to give you. The awareness of certain traits in others that have brought great change to the world and to our lives. All it takes is a little bit of mindfulness. Once you delve into these secrets of being a world changer, you'll start to notice things in other people, differences between those confused about life and those who are creating the changes they want to see in the world. We challenge you to be mindful of your surroundings, to be great observers of life. We are voracious learners, constantly learning and growing, testing hypotheses and simulating future scenarios. We want you to also strive for something greater than yourself. Part 1. the being of leadership. Having established the key idea of leadership as a means to creating positive change in the world and within yourself, we are now ready to explore the topic of leadership itself. Going back to the circles of victory, we see that leadership takes its rightful place at the center of the three outer circles: vision, imagination, and creativity. In this Venn diagram of the three overlapping circles, we'll first look at the circles of victory on their own. The diagram indicates that each of the concepts, vision, imagination, and creativity, when combined, play a part in creating leadership, which is at the center. In the circles, each of the ideas are personal traits we believe are associated with great leadership. For example, you may call someone like Steve Jobs a visionary, Picasso a creative genius, or Disney's own group of talented workers imagineers. In the cases we've studied, we find that great leaders have an extraordinary amount of one or all of these traits. To categorize it succinctly, we call it the being of leadership. The specific life circumstances, experiences, and behaviors that differentiate leaders from their peers. At this point, the goal should be clear: to become a better leader. And to do so, it is absolutely necessary to place your focus on gaining competence in one or more of the areas listed in the circles. As your ability in these traits grows, so will your ability to influence the people around you. You might be wondering about the implications of this new knowledge and whether you can be leadership material. Worry not, as we found that being excellent at these traits is neither lofty nor unachievable. Being successful just takes some knowledge and practice. In the following sections, we'll dive into each of the traits and showcase some of the things you can do to build upon these areas. Before we begin to explore each of these concepts, it might be useful to get a general sense of each trait's role in case you are interested in improving a particular aspect. Here they are. 1. Vision. Your passions combined with your beliefs. 2. Imagination. Different perspectives as lenses for seeing the world. 3. Creativity. Methodologies to generate novel solutions to problems. Ready to get started? Listen on. Vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Anonymous. When we first started drawing up images for how to best represent a leader's components, we decided to put vision as the first of the three concepts. Besides the side benefit of the cool name we are now able to give our diagram, Circles of VIC Victory, it also made the most sense to us, as vision often precedes other ideals. Vision is our source of inspiration, providing the motivation and the meaning to the things we do. It has been the seed of history's greatest and most terrible events, all born from humble beginnings, a better future pictured in the visionary's mind. If such a seed can spawn both great and terrible things, then we must be sure that we wield vision responsibly. Most people think of vision as a flash of brilliance, some inexplicable interconnection of neurons fortuitously combined to deliver some unseen insight to the minds of the chosen. This vision couldn't be further from the truth. Such thoughts as those described previously are not vision, simply musings with grandiose intentions. True vision, the kind of powerful stuff that changes the world, comes from calmly distilling ideas, constantly working and reworking them, and then molding them to form. It requires insight from within and without. First, in understanding an idea's motivation, what makes it great, then measuring the idea's value through sharing. Everything happens twice, once in your head and once in reality. Robin S. Sharma, author of The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Developing true vision may sound like quite a bit of work. It's certainly not as easy as just lounging about, sitting there waiting for ideas to come to you, like little light bulbs blinking miraculously above people's heads in cartoons and television. Vision and leadership go much deeper. In fact, words that we normally associate with leadership, Words like charisma, charm, and persuasion are only a very small but necessary part of what makes an effective visionary. These traits are simply what we see on the surface, resulting from deeper and strongly rooted ideals and traits, much like how the tip of an iceberg belies the true mass beneath. So what's under the surface of our visionary's iceberg? Simply put, a lifetime of experience, knowledge, and beliefs. Often a visionary's life is quiet and unglamorous away from the public eye. Nonetheless, it is this slow, methodical observation and distillation of life that forms a vision's foundation. For without it, our analogical iceberg would surely tip over. The difference between a dreamer and a visionary is that the dreamer has his eyes closed and a visionary has his eyes open. Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream. At this point, it is evident that our mission toward becoming a visionary goes beyond having the right look and the right words. It requires a level of personal commitment to actively understand the world around us, as well as an unyielding conviction for finding ways to improve it. And finally, one must form a set of beliefs to create a vision's foundation. What kind of beliefs are we talking about? A person may believe in grounded truths. The earth is round. Or complete fabrications. The tooth fairy is real. But of course, we are not talking about those kinds of beliefs. We are talking about unwelcome beliefs, those contrary to popular ideas and concepts. Peter Thiel, former CEO of PayPal, serial entrepreneur and author, described the importance of such beliefs in his book, Zero to One. He asks potential employees a very important question: what important truth do very few people agree with you on? And he explained that a good answer typically follows the form, most people believe in X, but the truth is the opposite of X. We believe that this question, seemingly straightforward, is a litmus test for whether someone has the skills to become a visionary. Just as civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. believed in equality regardless of race, a contrarian belief at the time, we believe that a strong personal belief is the first ingredient in creating a vision. There's more to vision than just mere belief, though, for a visionary points the way toward a path where belief can manifest itself into reality. To do so, one needs a strategy. Imagine writing the word start on the left side of a page and the word end on the right side and connecting them with a squiggly, rambling line. Without vision, the path is like that. A strategy is the bridge between what is and what should be. It describes how one can turn a vision into reality. A belief describes the goal and why something should be done. A strategy deals with how it can be done. Frequently, this step involves others' experiences and opinions, as a strategy must explain the future in terms that those living in the present can follow. With a belief and a strategy, a vision is complete. It can be described and acted upon, and like-minded individuals can share it to create change. Ultimately, a vision points the way forward, condensing the energy of many into a single direction, a focal reference point for individuals working to bring about massive change. With these ideas in mind, we can now focus on how we can become better leaders by honing a vision. We offer the following pointers for ease of use and reference: observe, create beliefs, strategize, and communicate. Observe the issues in your organization. What are some of the problems that persist in your organization? How many people does it affect? Who else, if any, is trying to solve this problem? Are you passionate enough about the issue to do something about it? Create beliefs through careful study. Who can you talk to get a better understanding of the problem? Is it possible to experience the problem for yourself? Does a potential solution exist that may solve it? How do you know the new solution solves the problem? Strategize a way to implement the solution. Who would this solution impact? Are there people the change would affect negatively? If so, what can be done to minimize or completely mitigate the negatives? Are there people who can help you gain an insight into how the idea would work in their world? Finally, communicate your message. Is the message clear and concise? Does it underline the value of such change and offer a way for others to act in support? Recommended reading. Start with Why: How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action, by Simon Sinek. Imagination. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. We begin this section with Henry Ford's wisdom on our ability to imagine change. The fundamental difference between success and failure often lies in whether we can imagine a path to the goal, whether we can see in our mind's eye a potential not obvious to others. Great leaders with great imagination are apt at seeing potential where others can't, certainly a desirable quality. How does a person become more imaginative? Many find this personality trait elusive, and characters with great imagination and resourcefulness often rise to the status of great heroes. We all wish to be the MacGyvers or the Tony Starks of our own life. As it turns out, it is possible to train ourselves to be more imaginative. We'll first illustrate this possibility through the analogy of a puzzle. Consider the following puzzle. Given 6 matchsticks on a tabletop, create a configuration where the matchsticks form exactly 4 equilateral triangles without breaking the matchsticks into smaller pieces. Spend some time and try to figure this out. If you're having trouble, keep trying. Try as many combinations as you can, and really stick with it until you've exhausted every possible scenario before you give up. Remember, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Pause this recording while you try some solutions, and then when you're ready, turn it back on. As it turns out, the key to this puzzle lies in imagining the matchsticks in 3 dimensions. By using the 6 matchsticks to create a tetrahedron, we end up with 4 equilateral triangles. There are 4 faces, equilateral by definition, because each side is the length of a single matchstick. The problem, when presented, describes the 6 matchsticks lying flat on a tabletop, prompting many people to try unsuccessfully to create shapes in 2D. Only through seeing the potential of a 3rd dimension would one be able to solve this puzzle correctly. When we open up this new perspective, the answer is in front of us clear as day. By changing our perspective, we also changed our assumptions about the problem. 2D perspective. Matches must lay flat. Answer might be some complex shape. 3D perspective. Matches do not have to lie flat. Answer might be a simple geometric shape. Taking this puzzle as an analogy of our daily life, we can envision our problems as puzzles that need solving. As with the solution of this puzzle, the answer often comes from seeing the world from different perspectives. The ability to discover these perspectives and shift them at will is the key. Urban legend has it that when he was creating the first Disneyland in Anaheim, California, Walt Disney was often seen walking along the park, stopping every few paces to crouch down. When asked about his behavior, Disney replied that this action was how he was able to see the park from a child's perspective. By shifting his perspective from adult to child, Disney was able to gain valuable insight into what the park might look like from a child's view, ensuring that he would achieve his vision of a child-friendly theme park. What kinds of perspectives do leaders have? Leaders come from all types of backgrounds, education, and circumstances, imbuing them with a grand range of diverse and unique perspectives. Yet, we're looking for the existence of a common thread, something that all leaders have. In examining the relationship between imagination and perspective, we found leaders at all levels have a common perspective. It goes back to how you view the world, your paradigm, your beliefs, your values. Perspectives shape the identity of who you are. In one of his interviews from the early 90s, Steve Jobs said, "Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is, everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. And the minute you understand that you can poke life and actually push in so that something will pop out the other side, you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing." Prolific entrepreneur and world changer Elon Musk is known to demand his engineers get down to the physics of why something is not possible and never accept explanations along the lines of, "It's always been done that way." His refusal to accept no simply because it's the way it's always been done manifests the same values that Steve Jobs talks about. Elon Musk and Steve Jobs both molded life to match their vision. When you believe that the world around you is malleable, then you can start seeing opportunities and possibilities where you once may have only seen barriers and obstacles. But not only is the world around you changeable, your entire mind is also adaptable. The way you see the world is simply an extension of the things you tell yourself and the lenses you put over your eyes. At their core, all leaders hold the perspective that their world is malleable, both in and outside of their minds. This common core serves as the first perspective to see all problems and the beginnings of how a puzzle might be solved. Of course, life is rife with different problems, meaning we need to equip ourselves with more perspectives. The malleability perspective is but one set of lenses we use to see the world. When we're born, we all start with a wide range of lenses. As we get older, we start discarding the lenses of our imaginations and childhood until one day we begin to view life with a single lens. Mark Twain said, "To the man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail." So the question becomes, how do we get those lenses back and subsequently expand our imaginations to what they once were when we were children? Simply put, we need to explore the world, read books, and talk to people. As Steve Jobs once said, we need to think different. You gain your imagination back by drawing from perspectives of those around you, learning from those around you. We can only think differently when we choose to see the world in new ways, with the new eyes and new perspectives that were once so open to us in our youth. The good news is that our childhood imagination is still there. We just need to build the path back to it through gaining and collecting different lenses and practice putting those lenses back on. One of the easiest ways to start keeping these different perspective lenses within easy reach of your memory is using a fun little neuroscience hack called a mnemonic, defined as a pattern of letters, ideas, or associations that assists in remembering something. In this case, we've collected a set of acronyms as our mnemonics that you can use when times get tough to help build that bridge back to the wellspring of your imagination and then tap back into it. They are fear, goop, and crap. There's a clever acronym we always use every time we get hit by fear. Fear equals false expectations appearing real. Oftentimes, when we're afraid of something, we envision and project a reality that hasn't even happened yet. This reality may feel so real that in the moment, we manage to talk ourselves out of accomplishing things. We are molding our life to match this vision. Simply by shifting our perspective more optimistically, we can see that just by having fear, we know that our minds are capable of imagination. We imagine something that doesn't even exist, the false appearing real, in turn affecting our actions. Simply put, with fear, we just use the powers of our imagination for bad instead of good. So, if you see someone getting frustrated because they can't figure out something, or you come across a process too complex to complete, there is room for improvement. Come up with some possible solutions, no matter how implausible or improbable they are. Explore, imagine, think differently. Leaders tap into their imaginations to bring different lenses to their work, and as a result, often lead their teams to new and disruptive solutions that change the world. We're often afraid of expressing our ideas or our imagination simply because we get mired in GOOP, good opinions of other people. Even our families and closest friends can contribute to the goop, discouraging us from speaking our minds and letting our imaginations fly. Sometimes we get stuck in life. We get tired of shuffling off and digging ourselves out of life's goop and crap, so we just stay silent and hide. As we get older, we meet more and more people and get buried in more and more crap. crap equals criticism, rejection, assholes, pressure. This crap continues to get on our perspectives lenses and muddies up our vision. That's why our environment matters. To get away from these two weights that may bring us down and disconnect us from our imaginations, it's important to find space or surroundings that allow us to collect our thoughts and let us and our minds be free to do as they please. In essence, to be kids again. With the idea of imagination as a collection of perspectives, our goal toward a better imagination becomes more clear. We offer the following pointers to help get you started. Seek, shift, and lead. Seek out perspectives. Examine difficult problems from multiple different angles. What seems difficult or impossible from one perspective might be easy and obvious from another. Shift perspectives often. How might a different person interpret the facts, and how might the assumptions change? Lead with malleability. Do you believe the problem to be solvable? Assume it is until you can prove that it isn't. Don't take no for an answer just because others have said no before. Recommended reading: Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. Creativity. If you're alive, you're a creative person. Elizabeth Gilbert, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. Our third ingredient in the making of a leader lies in the skill of creativity. At this point, it will serve us well to first do away with the popular definition of creativity as a means to create artistic works, and instead use the more general definition, the process in which new and valuable ideas are formed. By reframing creativity in this way, it will allow us to repurpose works and examples focused on expanding one's creativity and apply them toward nurturing creativity in the context of leadership. Using the more general definition, clearly leadership involves some level of creativity. Think of a leader in your respective field of study or industry and question why that person is hailed as a leader. More often than not, it is because the leader introduced a new way of thinking, a better way to get something done, or tapped into a resource that was previously unknown. They saw the problem in a new light and created a new, novel, and valuable idea. The good news is, we believe everyone can learn creative skills. It may be that you already consider yourself a creative. If so, great. You're one step closer to using your skills in a different way. However, for most people, mastering creativity might seem daunting. We can simplify the creative process in the following six stages. 1. This is awesome. 2. This is tricky. 3. This is shit. 4. I am shit. 5. This might be okay. 6. This is awesome. Unfortunately, most people get stuck on step 4, the I am shit stage of the creative process. The distinction in developing a skillfully creative mind is to overcome self-deprecation by using and practicing some tools that will help you get out of a rut. As you've learned so far, our mind is fertile soil for any object, thought, or feeling. Whether our thoughts be positive or negative, our lives be as well. Every man is what he is because of the dominating thoughts which he permits to occupy his mind. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Now, when our minds get blocked or the ideas stop flowing, we use certain idea-generating tools that help us think about our problem in different ways so that we can come up with more unique solutions. The following particular tool is one we call CAMPERS. In addition to reminding us of our favorite place to be creative, each letter stands for a particular tool that you can use to get yourself unstuck. CAMPERS. C. Combine. What would happen if you combined this new product with another to create something new? A. Adapt. How could you adapt or readjust this product to serve another purpose, or think about a solution to another problem that you may mold to suit your current situation? M. Modify or magnify. How could you enlarge or change the shape, look, or feel of your product? P. Put to other uses. Can you use this product somewhere else, perhaps in another industry? E. Eliminate. How could you streamline or simplify this product? R. Rearrange or reverse. What would happen if you changed the order or reversed this process or sequenced things differently? And S. Substitute. What materials or resources can you substitute or swap to improve the product? You can use this exercise, derived from a well-known tool in the creative industry called Scamper, made popular by Bob Eberle, in almost any situation where you need to change direction. Whether you're leading an entire company, improving an outdated process, or sending people to Mars, thinking about your problems differently can lead to some of the most creative and cost-effective solutions that can change the world. Now, you might say, wait, isn't using a template the opposite of being creative? To that, we would say that using the Camper's model is actually a way of training your brain to start to think in a different paradigm. Use it just as you would use training wheels on a bicycle, or use it as a jazz pianist would to learn the technique of improvisation. To improvise, one must have a very good foundation in piano theory basics to break from the mold that already exists. So consider this tool as a foundation from which you can build and then improvise from there. You can find many examples of this tool's use online, but for our purposes, we came up with a theoretical example using a ride many people love at Disneyland called Indiana Jones Adventure, Temple of the Forbidden Eye. Our example isn't exactly how the ride was invented or even brainstormed, but we can imagine this is how the exercise would have gone down if they had used a tool similar to Camper's and were trying to answer the question, how can we make another great ride that Disney has never done before in a park? Indiana Jones Adventure, Temple of the Forbidden Eye. Combine two ride systems, Omnimover Haunted Mansion plus Motion Base Star Tours. Adapt. Use IP, intellectual property, that is more exciting to the new generation, Indiana Jones. Modify or magnify. Not a book report of the movie. Focus on a new adventure entirely. Put to other uses. This ride could possibly be used as a stunt show somewhere else in Florida. Eliminate. The driver. It's a car you can't drive, and there is no host, except over the speaker. Rearrange or reverse. We are not Indiana Jones himself going on an adventure. We are explorers with him on an adventure. And substitute. Turn a normal line into a show. Make it seem like you're going deeper into the Forbidden Temple, and it gives you secret characters to decode and things to interact with. Just thinking about the problem from a different angle lets your mind see the world differently and come up with fun and interesting solutions that you may not have thought of before. All it takes is some practice. The best creative minds out there are made up of the same material as your mind. They've simply spent more time putting these tools to good use. With time and practice, you can also be as creative as you want to let yourself be. So, the next time you run into a problem, apply the creativity templates and see if a new solution emerges. Great leaders apply these kinds of creative tools to all sorts of situations, helping to lead their teams down new paths and innovate in new directions. Recommended reading: Zigzag, The Surprising Path to Greater Creativity by Keith Sawyer. Inside the Box, A Proven System of Creativity for Breakthrough Results by Drew Boyd and Jacob Goldenberg. Final thoughts.
We but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change.
Mahatma Gandhi. Being a world changer starts with a state of mind. So think of the circles of victory as a Venn diagram of a mental framework. Just as the mind, body, and spirit live in harmony, so do the different aspects of the circles of victory. The larger circles represent the different characteristics of a mindset that a world changer must have to begin the change they want to see.
However, as you'll listen to in part two of this series, the body's implementation actually puts those diaphanous, ethereal ideas in the crossovers and intersections into action. All of these elements together, both the big circles and the crossovers and the intersections, together embody the spirit of what it means to be a world changer. Yet, of course, it is only the beginning of a much larger journey. In short, it all starts with you. If you want to be a world changer, you must first change your internal world. You must build these concepts into your being so they become a part of you. They must seep into your subconscious. To do that, they must become habits. Change first begins in the mind, the internal world. As a result, the body will change, and that will affect the external world, and so on. It has to be said that to effectively build a habit, you need at least 66 days to form it. That is, you need to give it a little over 2 months to even start to see change. In the next audiobook, part two, you'll learn how to take these foundational mental frameworks and put them into action to create the change you've imagined and envisioned. The journey continues in part two, The Doing of Leadership. About the authors. Jonathan Chu currently works at Walt Disney Imagineering as a program manager overseeing much of the inspirational Blue Sky projects, looking 5 to 10 years out at potential new immersive experiences. Prior to working on Blue Sky, Jonathan worked as a ride controls engineer and project coordinator for Carland at Disney California Adventure and Fantasyland at the new Shanghai Disneyland Resort. He has inspired hundreds on finding their own personal motivation and creativity to be the best versions of themselves, no matter what passion and career they choose to pursue. He has been an IEEE member since 2007 and was president of the IEEE student chapter at UCLA. He is passionate about creating happiness and spreading joy to everyone around the world. Simply put, Jonathan loves what he does. Learn more about Jonathan here. http://chewjonathan.com. That's chewjonathan.com. Leo Zato is a recent graduate of UCLA in electrical engineering and computer science and has been spending the past few years designing and building Shanghai Disney Resort as an Imagineer, specializing in ride engineering. A strong believer in the creative potential of everyone, Leo has given numerous talks in the United States and China on the technical creative, people who can dream, design, and execute with vision and passion. To that end, Leo has built his interests and hobbies around building and creating things. He has worked on and led projects such as GPS-guided bomb-sniffing dogs, Skype-based telepresence robots, a walk-in Christmas snow globe, and most recently, a card game about designing evil dungeons for unsuspecting heroes. He is currently the co-designer of Codiate, creating immersive VR games, and finding novel solutions to various VR interaction problems. Leo believes that VR and AR have the potential to stand alongside established mediums, and he is incredibly excited to be part of it. Simply put, Leo loves what he does. Learn more about Leo here, http://www.leozeto.com. That's www.leozeto.com. This has been Secrets to Being a World Changer, Part 1, The Being of Leadership, written by Jonathan Chu and Leo Zato, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh.